as we left off in the previous year, we were discussing the sugya, the very end of Maseches Erevin, about if a person causes noise to be made, but it's not noise in a music sense, is that considered to be a problem of anything? So there was a machlokes amaraim about it, and we paskin la halacha, like it seems to be the maskat of the Bavli, that this is in fact permissible. What exactly is the issue? Why should there be? Should there not be an issue? So the Osamech explained that this is part of the general question about Shem Yisrael and Kleshir. The reason why we're talking about this is because there's an Isser Minator, one of the Lama Tes Malachas is Machve Patish, to fix something that's broken. And if one is doing something musical, so then the next thing you know is that he may end up taking an instrument and actually fixing the instrument. So this is all considered to be an extension of the Gezeirah Shem Yisrael and Kleshir, which is exactly the reason why the Osamech explains, where we hold that it's only also if it's done derech shir. If it's done in a musical context, then it's a problem. If guys just knock on the door to get in, so then there's nothing to be concerned with, that it should be hetter gomer. So when we say it should be hetter gomer, the emphasis is on the word should. Because it sounds like, based on everything we're saying, that we're learning the sugya as part of Shem Yisrael and Kleshir, it sounds like as long as there's no music involved, so that everything should be all right. So if we take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and the fourth of the Maamar Kamos, we'll see that that's not 100% true. So comes the Shulchan Aruch in Sibin Shin Lamed Chesef Aleph, Hashmas Kol B'Kleshir Asur, to make any kind of a noise, to play any kind of an instrument, or to make a banging, to a beat of something, is for sure Asur, that is included in the Issa D'Rabban of Shem Yisrael and Kleshir. V'la Hakish Al Adelas V'Chayetzi B'Zeh, but just to knock on the door when it's not being done in the way of a song, then a musical beat, then it's totally mutter. The Rama adds on that similarly, if a person doesn't do an act, even if a person is doing something which is a little bit musical in nature, but they're not playing an instrument, they're not banging on something, they're just doing something without any action whatsoever. The whistle, one, that would be permissible to be done on Shabbos, even if it's done in a little bit of a musical way. The person is whistling a tune or something, so me'ikar adin, that's mutter on Shabbos. You see from the Ramah something else. You see from the Ramah that not only whistling is mutter on Shabbos, but whistling is mutter during the week also. Why do I say that? Why would anybody think you're not allowed to whistle during the week? So anyone whose grandmother may have told them, I had this mitzvah from my grandmother, that I remember how the phrase goes, but it's something like, only a goy whistles. That was somehow in Poland. That was what was the Yiddish phrase? I'm afraid to say it, but I think it was said off the record, but I think it was like a Shagetz Fifes or something, some kind of a phrase like that. That was the nusach that I received from Galicia, that only somebody not Jewish whistles. So Lamai said that, whatever reason that was in Poland, Matachlas it's mutter. The Ramah also came from Poland. The Ramah says that it's mutter to whistle both during the week as well as on Shabbos.
Doesn't it seem from the Ramah that if you whistle to call a friend is mutter? But I'm not sure, does he really say mutter as a song? He says,
is that what he means,
friend,
or does he mean
to do a tune?
Yeah,
I don't know. Because the feeling that he would say mutter.
But it sounds like there are more matter even that, because even derech a tune, because why would you have to say that? That if you're malach, you're allowed to knock on the door. So kavachom, you're allowed to do something without a ma'isa. Mm-hmm. He sounds almost like he's saying v'cheinim la'oven ma'isa. Everything's mutter. And it's not considered to be any kind of an answer at all.
What's koron l'chaver rehem then?
No, v'lachein, and therefore he says those who are calling to their friends with whistling would be okay. But I don't think dafka that. I think so. I don't know. Okay. I think the pashtun of the Ramah is like that. So now comes the Ramon, turns around and says, but what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos is, you're not allowed to knock on the door on Shabbos with something which is tabasa kavua bedelas, like a door knocker, so which is designated for the purpose of making noise. Even though it's not making any noise, it's literally just to get into the house. Since it's a kli amiyuchad lekach, it's designated for making noise, it's a problem. V'lachein also l'shamash l'hakos al adeles l'krol l'beis ha-kneses ha-idea kli amiyuchad lekach l'macha b'yadu al adeles. And therefore the Ramah quotes that when the shamash, so the vekra, the guys that come and wake up people, bring people up before the days of alarm clocks, so how did you get everybody to shul? So there was a guy, that was his job in the morning. He would come and bang on the doors in the morning. Those who have had that privilege in yeshiva to have, they have similar people like that also come and smash and bang on the doors, sometimes bang on the heads in order to wake up the Tamidim. So the Ramah writes, you have to be careful on Shabbos and Yom Tov. When the Vekka comes to bang and wake you up, he should not use the door knocker. He should only knock with his hand, with his fist on the door. So the question is, where in the world did this come from? Based on everything that we've been talking about, if it's a eino derech shiur, so that it should be mutter. We just got finished saying the whole list of shem yisat and klei shiur. The only reason why Ula thought that it's aser was for a totally different reason. He thought it was aser, as the Arsamech said, because it's a molded coal, because you're causing a noise to be created. We don't pass like that at all. The Bavli is against that. The Rif already told us that we don't follow the Rishalmi against the Bavli. So we, both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, quote the Kula of the Bavli, that if it's not Derech Shir, it's Mutter. How can we turn around and say, but it's a Klem Yuchel Kach, it's also. Where in the world did that Isser of Klem Yuchel Kach come from? So the source for this, I don't know if the absolute original source, but it comes from a Maharil. Maharil was already a little bit before the Ramah, one of the great Ashkenazi poskim of the 1400s. The Maharil has this, and the Ramah quotes this a little bit, perhaps even from earlier sources as well, that there is some kind of a problem if you have a kli, hamiyuchah lekach. And the question is, where, what, who? What is that the world is that based on? So the Mishnah Berurah, the long piece in the Be'er Halacha, has difficulty to try to figure out what the source of this is. And the Be'er Halacha throws his hands up and he says, maybe the reason why this is asar, it's some kind of an uvda d'chol. It's some kind of a weekday-related kind of activity. Now this is always a very, very, you know, vague hagdara. When you see something that's not really also because of malacha, it's not really also because of gezeira, it's also because it's a weekday kind of activity, we're not minimizing the principle of the dechol, but it's always very tricky to know what does fall under the category of the dechol and what doesn't. The other issue that comes up, if you really feel that this is part of Uvda Dechol, it's not an outright Isser in of itself, then Uvda Dechol tends to become permissible under certain extenuating circumstances. Let's say, for example, Mokom Mitzvah. There's some great Mokom Mitzvah, some great Mokom Tzorech, so then Uvda Dechol would probably become permissible. That's what the Be'er Halacha raises the question. He quotes on some Acharon and say, let's say guy's mamish locked out of his house. So remember, we learned the Gemara in the Rishami in Erevin the other day. So the Rishami quoted a story about somebody who was locked out of his house, and he refused to knock on the door, and he slept outside rather than knocking on the door. But that's not a riot to our discussion, because that Amora held that it's Asur Be'ikar Adin, even if it's Shaloka Derech Shir, like there was a Machlokas Nag Gemara, Ulan Rabba. So the Rishami's opinion was, there's a real bona fide Isur Derabanan to knock on doors, even Shaloka Derech Shir. If so, we're not going to permit that, just because a person is stuck, is going to have to nebuch, sleep the night out on the street. But for us who don't follow that view, we hold that Mikra Dinovich Lobadech Shir, it's Mutter. The worst that we could possibly have it fall under if it's Miyuchal Lekach is that it's kind of an Uvda Dechol. And Uvda Dechol we're going to be much more lenient with. So that Yerushalmi seems to resemble our practice, but it's not really the same thing. Then the Be'er Halacha throws out another possibility that maybe the reason why it's Asar is that maybe the Maharil, the Zacharav, the Ramal, were of the opinion that this is almost part of a general Gezeirah Shem Yisak and Klei Shiur. Namely, if you have something that's Miyuchal Lekach to make noise, so that's already too close to an instrument. You know, if a guy is just banging with his hand, so then we say B'manav Shem. Then we say, if you're doing it, Derech Shiur. Okay, so then we understand, even banging with your hands, it's a little bit far-fetched, but Shem Yisak and Klei Shiur. If you're banging with your hands, not Derech Shiur, it's already so far removed from an instrument, so far removed from playing music, that the Gezeirah is really unnecessary. But once you're out of the realm of using your hands, you're in the realm of using a knocker, using a kli, using a, I can't really call it an instrument, but using a kli, a miyucha, to make noise, so that already starts to resemble an instrument. That's already a little bit too close for comfort. If that's the case, so then maybe the Maharil held that it's a real Isser. Maybe it's not just the Uvda Dechol, the quote-unquote we're making up. Maybe it's a real Isser of, I don't mean that making up literally, but it means it's not just the Uvda Dechol. Maybe it's part of the real Isser called Shem Yisat and Klei Shiur. So it's really not clear why the Maharil asked it in the first place. Based on the regular rules of the Bavli, Visham, and based on the rules of the Sugya, it sounds like as long as it's not Derech Shiur, it should be Heter Gomor. So the Be'er Halacha is suggesting two possibilities. Either it's an Uvda Dechol type of Halacha, which would lend itself to many kulas, or it's a real gezeirah derabanan shem yisat and klei shiur, even though it doesn't appear in the Gemara itself, but somehow we understand that that's considered to be more of a concern of shem yisat and klei shiur. The only issue with both of these approaches is that in the Maharil itself, neither one of these ideas appear, neither of these reasons appear. And the reason that does appear in the Maharil, at least the Maharil references, seems to be based on something a little bit different than both of the ideas that the Mishnah Berurah is suggesting. The Maharil references a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Naf Yud Ches, and he says, now that we have this Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Naf Yud Ches, so now we can begin to understand why you can't use a knocker on your door. Who Gemara? What's the Gemara in Shabbos, Naf Yud Ches? That's important for us. So we have to take a step back. and learn the sugya in Shabbos Daf Yud Ches and see what the Gemara does say, and perhaps for our purposes, even more importantly, what the Gemara doesn't say, and see why the Maril felt that in that sugya in Shabbos Daf Yud Ches is some kind of a source for the not to knock on the doors. So we take a look at the sixth of the Maril Mekamos, in Shabbos Daf Yud Ches and Aleph. So the Gemara says as follows: so the context of the sugya, the Gemara is commenting on a machlokes between Beishabe and Beisila. We spoke about this many times about if a person sets up a system from before Shabbos that the malach is going to be done on Shabbos. I'm sleeping, and if I set something up on Friday afternoon, that the malach will now actually take place on its own. Is that a problem or not? So Mishami says that's a problem. Mishami says that you can't, let's say, set up a trap. That was one of the examples Mishami gave. You can't set up a trap on Friday afternoon that the trap's going to trap animals on Shabbos during the day. Because the malach of trapping animals is the malach of tzedah. Even though you're not doing anything, but you started the process on Friday, that's considered to be a problem. And Beisilu says, we never heard of such a thing. Beisilu says, as long as the sun hasn't set, not yet shkia, you can set it your traps. The animal's going to get caught on Shabbos. That's not your issue. What's the nekudas of machloikis to Beisham and Beisilu? So the Gemara says, it seems to be machloikis about a principle that's called shvisas kelim. Shvisas kelim means that my utensil, my vessel, can't do malacha. Now we know that obviously, the primary issue of Shabbos is you're not allowed to do malacha. Then there are almost secondary issurim. You're not allowed to do malacha. Your Eved Kna'ani is not allowed to do malacha. Your child's not allowed to do malacha. Atavin chavitecha. Maybe the Ger Toshav is not allowed to do malacha. That's also a question what that means. So there are some situations that arise that not only am I not allowed to do, but other people are also not allowed to do for me. Or, for example, my behema is not allowed to do malacha. Shri says behema. What about my kelim? Can my kli do malacha? So Beishamai said, no. Beishamai dashes from a pasuk. B'chol she'emat that shemayu the rabba shvisas kelim. Beishamai a drasha. Xeris hakosuf. That just as my evad can't work for me and my behema can't work, and my kli can't work for me as well. And Beisil says we never heard of such a thing. There's no such thing as shvisas kelim. Never heard of such. Doesn't exist. So comes the Gemara in Shabbos, Nafid Chesed, quotes a Bryce and says that even according to Beis Hillel, who deny Shrisas Kelim, but they concede to Beis Shammai that what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to take wheat and put it into a mill that it should be ground during the course of the day, even though I'm not doing anything. I set up the system, I set up the water wheel, set up the grinding stones on Friday afternoon, and I'm going to shul. I'm learning Friday night, I'm taking it, I'm sleeping Friday night, I'm learning the Yom Shabbos morning, I'm davening, I'm meeting my children, and my wheel is turning and grinding and grinding and grinding. So the Bryce says that's a problem. So he says, my time, what's the reason? According to Beisham, I understand, but according to Beisila, why should that be a problem? So I'm around Reisham HaShvaz Kol. So Rabbi says the reason is because it's making noise, and that's the problem. No, we don't yet know what that problem is, but Rabbah says that's the reason why it's also. Even Beis Hillel, who generally don't accept Shvisas Kelim, would ask right here, not because of Shvisas Kelim, but would ask right here because of Mashmiya Kol. Amalei Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef disagreed with Rabbah. Rav Yosef said, V'leima Mamshun Shvisas Kelim. Why don't you say the real reason for this brisa would be Shvisas Kelim, which would mean that Beis Hillel really don't concede to Beis Shammai. This brisa that says Einos and Chitin is really not Beis Hillel. We misunderstood the brisa. It's really only Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel would say it's in fact Mutter. And who is Beis Shammai? Where is Beis Shammai? Desanya. V'chol l'shemati aleichem t'shemeru l'rabba Shvisas Kelim. That comes to include Shvisas Kelim. And Rav Yosef takabashun Shvisas Kelim. Rav Yosef said, you totally misunderstood the brisa. There is no such brisa. Beis Hillel don't concede to Beis Shammai. You misread the brisa. And the emes is that according to Beis Shammai, all Shvisas Kelim is Aser. According to Beis Hillel, all Shvisas Kelim is Mutter. So according to Rav Yosef, the sugya is over. But according to Rabbah, no. According to Rabbah, there were three words. Reish Mashmas Kol. According to Rabbah, there was a secondary issa called Mashmiya Kol, which even Beis Hillel felt we have to reckon with. None do with Shvisas Kelim. Shvisas Kelim is over. That's the machlokes at the level of Deraisa, which we actually reject Beis Shammai. But according to Rabbah, we do accept that there's a problem of Mashmiya Kol. What exactly is this problem? Very, very vague, very unclear. What is this isser of Mashmiya Kol? Doesn't sound too deraisish to me. What kind of an isser is this Mashmiya Kol? So there's machlekes that we've shown him. What is this isser, assuming that the isser exists? There's a double machlekes. There's a machlekes, does the isser exist in the first place? And number two, even assuming that the isser exists, what is the nature of this isser? So there are two different approaches in the Rishonim, what the potential problem is. One possibility is it's almost like a Maris Ayin or Maris Ozen, a Shema Ozen kind of a problem. Namely, someone's going to walk by and they're going to hear your water wheel going. If they walk by and they there's a trap that goes off, they may not even catch it. They may not even realize it. It doesn't make noise. It doesn't draw attention to itself. You walk by and there's a racket going on in the bad guy's backyard. His grinding stone, his water wheel is grinding grain. It's going to make so much noise. Someone's going to walk by and think, whoa, this guy must have just set up his water wheel on Shabbos. That's going to be almost like a gather of Cheshad, like a gather of Maris Ayin. So that's one group of Rishonim say. So Mashvi'a Kol, it's not really the Kol that's the problem. It's the Kol that draws attention to the fact that the Malach is being done, and it's the drawing attention to the Malach is being done. That is what concerns us. And other Rishonim take the phrase Mashvi'a Kol a little bit more literal and say, no, the real problem is that it's making noise. Just the fact that noise is being made, not because anyone's drawing any conclusion. There is noise going on in your backyard. That's a problem. And what is Sukkah Frelich? What's all terrible about noise? It's a zilzal Shabbos. Stop a covering for Shabbos. You should walk by a guy's house. There's such a racket going on. That's a zilzal of Shabbos. And that in and of itself is a problem. So we have three different possibilities. We have Rav Yosef who said, there's no such thing. I never heard of Mashmir Kol. The Braisa that prohibits the water wheel with the grinding of the grain happens to be Beis Shammai, so it has no relevance to Halacha. Then you have the view of Beis Hillel. Then you have the view of Rabbah that says, no, even Beis Hillel can see there's a problem. What the problem is called Mashmir Kol. What the nature of that problem is, Rishonim branch off. Some Rishonim say it's based on a type of Amar's Ayin-related Halacha. And others say, no, there is something intrinsically wrong with making noise on Shabbos, having noise being made on Shabbos. How do we pasken in Halacha? So if we take a look at the 7th of the Mamre Kamos, so the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Dun Bei Sif Hei quotes about all the things that you're allowed to do before Shabbos, quotes the whole Mishnah about Beis Hillel. You're allowed to do everything before Shabbos. And then if you take a look, it is five lines from the top. It's the last word in the line. Fifth line from the top, last word in the line. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it is permissible to put grain into the water wheels right before Shabbos, even though it's going to make a racket, it's still permissible. How is the Shulchan Aruch paskening? He's following those Rishonim will say that we don't accept Rabbah's reason, Mashmir Kol. The Maskana the Gemara seems to be like Rabbi Yosef, but the emissary reason is Shvisas Kalim. Therefore, we who follow Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai, we reject Shvisas Kalim. Therefore, we reject this entire concern. So, according to the Shulchan Aruch, she has over. And the Ramah explains where the Shulchan Aruch is coming from. For lo chashinim lashmas kol, sheyomru v'chaim sheploni tochanas b'shabes. Says the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion that there's nothing to be concerned and no one's going to say anything bad. No one's going to start to scream gaval. This guy put his stuff into his water wheel on Shabbos. There's no concern. Now the Ramah says, v'yesh osrim b'rechayim, v'v'chamokam sheyesh lachush lashmas kol. Then the Ramah quotes most of the Ashkenazi we've shown him, from the Taisus and the Rosh, and those Gedolei Rishonim who say that it is a problem, namely they paskin like Rabbah. So it's really a machlekes. A Rishonim is actually a machlekes Amoraim, whether normally Rabbah and Rav Yosef we follow Rav Yosef, but he, I'm sorry, normally Rabbah and Rav Yosef follow Rabbah, but here the Gemara almost sounds like Rav Yosef is getting in the last word. So that's the source of the machlekes of Rishonim. So where is the Shulchan Aruch was makel across the board? All Ashmas Kol was mutar. The Ramah is not so sure. Yesh Elzrim. And then the Ramah concludes, V'hochi nog lechetchila. The Ramah writes that lechetchila, we should be machmer on this, in deference to those we've shown him. Miu, b'makom pseidi yesh lehochal, k'mo shizbai says, if it's a real makom hefsed, so then we could fall back on the Shulchan Aruch, on the Sfarim we've shown him, who hold that it's actually permissible. So now the Ramah is writing, I who just told you that our practice, Ashkenazim, is to avoid Ashmas Kol. But one thing is okay, says the Ramah. Umutalami klima shkola shikarin zayger me'erv Shabbos. Afa bish mashmiya kol odia shos b'Shabbos. Kya kol yodim shedarka lamida me'esmo. Comes the Ramah and says, what you are allowed to do is, he's describing almost like a grandfather clock. You're allowed to set up a zayger. Zayger is a watch, is a clock. You're allowed to set up a Zeger or a Zeiger, depending on which part of Europe you come from. But you're allowed to set up a clock from before Shabbos. What's it going to do? It's going to chime every hour on the hour. It's going to make a noise. So he says, that's okay. But it's Mashmiya Kol. So says the Ramon, Neha Kol Yodim Shadaka Lamidam Yesbo. Everybody knows that when you set up a grandfather clock, you don't set it up an hour before. It's a type of a device that everybody knows you set up way in advance. So therefore, the Issur Mashmiya Kol doesn't apply. What is the Ramah really saying? So he's telling us, is that he's siding with those Rishonim who are saying that even if there is an Isser, it's more of a Maris Ayin type of an Isser. And as a Maris Ayin type of an Isser, then you have to go case by case. Is there Maris Ayin? Is there no Maris Ayin? So the Ramah comes up with the Pshar and he says that if it's a water wheel that people sometimes set up, like on the spot, you don't set up your water wheel days in advance. So then if you hear a water wheel going on Shabbos, so there's a concern, maybe you set it up on Shabbos. But if it's a type of a thing like a watch, like a clock, a grandfather clock, you set up a long time in advance. So if you hear the chimes going off on Shabbos, no one's going to draw the absurd conclusion, this guy must have set up his clock on Shabbos, the guy's a Mechal Shabbos. So since the concern of Marisayan isn't there, therefore it becomes permissible. There is a modern day application of the Shiloh. What about setting up alarms? Not the chimes that our grandfather clocks most of us don't have. But you want to set an alarm. So is it permissible to set an alarm on your phone or on your phone? So your phone's going to be on, whatever it is, on your clock, on your phone, whatever it is, you want to set it up from before Shabbos, that's going to go off on Shabbos, should that be a concern of Mashmir Kol or not? So Rav Moshe held that was a problem, because Rav Moshe said, when it comes to the grandfather clocks of the Ramah, so then it was Darka Bakach to set up way in advance. When it comes to an alarm clock, when do most people set up their alarm clocks? Before they go to sleep. So you check to make sure your alarm is set. Not everybody gets up the same time every day, so sometimes you have to readjust your alarm clock. So that's what I usually do the night before, depending if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, depending if this call broker that day, not that day. If it's a strange week, so I got to rethink every night before I go to sleep what time to set the alarm for. So comes from Moshe and says, since people tend to set their alarm clocks the night before, when you hear an alarm clock going off Shabbos morning, so your initial reaction is, this guy set up his alarm the night before. Mainly, he set up on Shabbos, exactly what the concern of Hashemah's call of the Rechaim is. So Moshe answered, setting up alarm clocks from Friday afternoon that they're going to go off on Shabbos. But then Rav Moshe backtracked a little bit. Rav Moshe said, well, it depends. How loud must Mashmiah Kol be? So Mashmiah Kol of the grain, that was a racket. Okay, you walk past the guy's house, you can't sing his mirrors. It's making so much noise in the backyard grinding the grain. Alarm clock, almost nobody hears it. So says Rav Moshe, it depends. He thinks that there's a shiur. The shiur ledover is it something that's public or private? So if it's something that you can only hear in your own room, so it's hard to ask that. It's almost like chadr chadar. You can't hear it out of the room, but the person whose alarm's going off, he thought that was not loud enough to qualify a mashmiya call.
An air conditioner.
We're gonna have to see how some of these things that we're a little bit more makel on, even though some of the reasons don't really apply. You're right. So Rav Moshe said that he thinks that if the alarm clock is very low, that you can't hear it outside the room, you close the door, no one can hear it outside. He thought that doesn't meet the criteria of what's called Mashmiya Kol. But if it's loud enough, you can hear it outside, then he thought it would be a problem. Of course, there's a catch-22. If it's not loud enough, you can hear it outside, it's a good chance you're not going to hear it either. So, for all the years when I was a bachar, so I never used to have an alarm clock go off. Either I was home for Shabbos, my father was better than all the alarm clocks. He'd be up at 5 in the morning, rain or shine, Shabbos a weekday, so he would always wake me up on time. So I never had to worry about that. All the years when I was in yeshiva, so the dorm, we had the guys who would bang on your head, throw water at you, I think you've seen those fellas, maybe been one of those fellas over the years. So Baruch Hashem was able to get up. So as soon as when I got married, so now, it becomes a little more complicated now. I'm on my own, I can't rely on my wife to wake me up every morning. So when we first got married, I used to set an alarm clock on Friday afternoon that it should go off a few minutes on Shabbos morning to get the shachris in time. And then I stopped. I've told the story over in the past. The reason why I stopped was that I always assumed that, it was so low, if I can't hear it outside the room. So there was one morning where I had, I used to say a shiur early in the morning. This is late for me already, but when I first got married, so I used to say, we lived in the Heights, I'd say a shiur in Riverdale every morning. The shiur started at 6, but I had to get there in time, so I had to leave the Heights at 5:45. I was up, I had to be up at 5:20. So I would usually go give the shiur, and then I would come back. Then my wife would take the car to work, and then I would go to the yeshiva. So I would usually set the alarm clock for her. When I would leave, I'd set the alarm again and wake her up in a half hour, whatever it was. So it was a summer morning, and we must have had the windows open. I guess it wasn't too bad for the air conditioning, but it was we had the windows open. And I left the alarm clock to go off. And when I came back, as I'm walking down 187th Street, we lived on the fifth floor. I could hear an alarm clock going. And I realized that was my alarm clock. I came upstairs, Mr. Marsh, I didn't hear it. I heard five flights down, so I realized that was Oy Salam Kach. I thought it was wasn't so loud. It was clearly past the point of Moshe Shia of being able to be heard. So that was the last alarm clock I ever set for Shabbos. Some Shabbos have gotten up, others haven't gotten up. Baruch Hashem, after my first child was born, so then all the years that we had little kids in the house, there was a built-in better than all the alarm clocks in the world.
We saw, though, in Shin Lamechet, so the Ramah said, yeah, you can't use the official knocker, but if you knock with your hands, that's by definition going between rooms, knocking on the door.
Okay. So, again, so we're going to see. So, this is all we're learning the whole Ma'ar Malkum number 7 in order to understand, number 6 and number 7, in order to understand where in the world Ramah came from in terms of the Kleam Yuchel Lekach, in terms of the noise. So, now that at least we know the Gemara and the Shacharach that the Ravril, in effect, is referencing, now we can go back, hopefully, to the story about the knockers and try to see. So, why are some knockers also? What do they have to do with the sugya? Have anything to do with the sugya? Hopefully, we'll meet tomorrow. So, we'll try to continue, put the last pieces together in terms of the Sashem Yisankalish here. Okay. Which leads us to, I think we really have to make